This is the Future of HR podcast, episode 162.
And we quickly strategized and said, this is actually not just about rolling out the tools, but it's also about enabling them. It's about making sure people are aware of what's happening. But core to our strategy is actually, let's build excitement of AI. Let's make this really fun and interesting and engaging versus what we were hearing on the ground, which is, I'm a little bit nervous. I'm not sure I should use it. Is it going to take my job away? How's it going to disrupt what I do? We're like, no, this is all great. This is going to make your life easier and better and enhance what we're doing. So the Ignite AI strategy has three pillars. It's mindset, skill set, and tool set. Within each, we've spent a significant amount of time really diving deep on how we bring those pieces to life. But we really deliberately started with mindset because this ultimately is a change management strategy. This is not a technology rolled out. We tried that. It wasn't successful. And so we've pivoted to this becoming a learning and change and comms experience. We've had 7,500 GPTs and agents built across the organization in that period of time, and various other high stats that we're really, really impressed with.
How can leaders build an AI-first mindset that drives real culture change? Why is AI adoption more about people than technology? Hi, I'm your host, JP Elliott, and this is the Future of HR podcast, the only podcast whose mission is to inspire the next generation of HR leaders. On each episode, I interview successful HR executives and thought leaders who are reimagining, rethinking, and leading our field into the future. During our candid conversations, you will learn about their career journeys, their lessons learned along the way, and their insights on how to take our field, and most importantly, your career, to the next level. Over the past 3 years, I've had the privilege of speaking with more than 150 world-class CHROs and HR thought leaders on this podcast. Those conversations have revealed something every HR leader is grappling with. How do we stay ahead, create value, and truly future-proof our organizations? And that's exactly why I created my keynote, Future-Proofing HR, Creating Value by Unlocking the Capabilities of Tomorrow. It's not just a talk, it's a roadmap for transforming HR into a true value creator. I've had the privilege of keynoting HR leadership conferences for Fortune 500 companies, including AbbVie, Corning, Kohler, Nike, and LabCorp, and many more, equipping their teams with practical frameworks to challenge orthodoxies, sharpen influence, and build the capabilities that matter most for the future. If you're planning your next HR conference or leadership event, visit futureofhr.com to learn more, and let's talk about how we can make your next event a real success. And with that, my guest this week is Tina Gupta. Tina is the SVP of Talent Management at New York Life Insurance, where she is leading an organization-wide transformation at the intersection of talent and AI. New York Life has been in business for over 180 years, so they may not be the first company that comes to mind when you think of companies who are leading the way with an AI-first mindset. Yet that is exactly what they're doing, and they are doing it well. New York Life is one of the few companies who is truly integrating AI into their culture and how they operate. And I was so impressed and grateful for how candid Tina was in sharing how New York Life is embracing AI at scale, training all 12,000 employees, building thousands of internal GPTs, and focusing on the people and culture side of AI adoption. If your company or HR function is focused on AI adoption, you will not want to miss a minute of this conversation as we discussed why AI adoption is more about people than technology, how New York Life is scaling AI across 12,000 team members, what happens when employees are empowered to innovate with AI, and why managers need to rethink their roles in an AI-driven world, and much, much more. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this episode, so tag me or drop me a line on LinkedIn. And with that, let's jump into my conversation with Tina. Tina, welcome to the Future of HR podcast. How are you?
I am great. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, yeah, thank you for coming to the podcast. Not only about kind of your career, but a lot of the amazing work that you're doing. And you're getting a lot of attention on LinkedIn. I mean, you're posting about what you guys are doing, the transformation in New York Life in terms of AI and just how team members are being empowered inside HR, outside is just transformational and exciting. So we're diving into that. We're going to get into that, of course. But I want to start more about your career. As we've gotten to know each other, it's been interesting to know that over the course of your career, you've found yourself leading and supporting a lot of organizational transformation. You said this was almost accidental in some ways for you that sort of happened. But tell us a little more about how you got into some of these high stakes roles and what you've learned about successful transformation.
That's such a big question. It really is a accidental by purpose mission, I'd probably say. What I realized early on in my career is I was really chasing transformation. Wherever there was interesting or different or complex or understood work going on, I wanted to be part of it. So it was slightly by accident, but I think it's actually been something that I realized that when work was easy and good and everything was running really smoothly and I was getting my 5-star reviews and all this, that was boring. I didn't want to do that anymore. Where it was really complex and no one knew the answer and things had no end point, that just seemed where I thrived and played the most. So there's two things within that. One is the talent management space has suddenly become the core of key transformation of most organizations. And I've seen that much more in the last few years than my whole career. Anyone in a talent management seat is in a transformation mode. I think those two things are no longer separate. The other thing is, when we think about some of the more complex problems that companies are trying to solve, it really is about how are we enabling a future-ready workforce. In the past, where change management, I think it's been a thing off to the side or a group that you bring in at some point, we're seeing change management is driving some of the work and has the first seat at the table in many cases. So those pieces have really helped drive my transformational focused efforts. The other thing I'll say is a lot of the companies that I joined historically, I was like, this is going to be great. I'm leading talent and I'm doing this work. And then a few months in, there's going to be a merger, an acquisition, a divestiture. We're selling something, we're building a new product. So the change has been constant in the company environment and just corporate America in general the last few years. Then I've been like, all right, I guess I'm doing a culture change here now, or I guess we're thinking about spinning off this company. And most of them have been fast and furious and complex.
You've definitely done a lot of transformation and some really unique experiences there, which is sometimes serendipity. Sometimes you said like you've run to the fire and the transformation. But what I hear from you a little bit is just a curiosity around wanting to not have the status quo. And has that been something that's been with you your whole career? Were you like this as a child and saying, hey, why does this work and why do we do it this way?
What I'd probably say has been with me for sure is a continuous learning mindset. The minute I know and mastered something, I've been bored of it. I was like, oh, that was interesting for a bit. And now what's next? So for me, it's been this desire to continuously be in challenging situations that bring out a new skill set or a new, I've really got to dive deep. And in fact, the AI transformation, I know we'll spend some time on that, is a prime example of that. I have no idea what I'm doing, as do many people in my seat who are leading an AI transformation. But we've been forced to try and figure this out and learn as we go. And that's why I'm really thriving at this moment in time, but also terrified and have no idea if I'm doing the right things or whether this will work for the company. But I have faith that this experimentation mindset is the thing that is going to really support the company through success. And that's something I talk to my team about a lot. And they'll come to me stressed out, worried, unsure, never done this before. And I said, this is going to be literally the best few years of your life. You may not know it right now, but the transformational work you're doing, you're going to come out and realize how many new skills you've built and what a stronger leader or employee you are. So that's my goal with my team. And I really support them through that. And I believe that for myself too.
Yeah, I think it's incredible. I mean, growth is not comfortable. There's a reason why it's called a stretch role. You're stretched. You're going to feel uncomfortable for a while. When you learn a new skill, especially in corporate America, we think we have to be perfect. But the reality is anything we've ever learned, the first time you do it, you're pretty bad at it. And then you get better. It's like, why do we think we're going to be good at the first time? It doesn't work that way.
It doesn't. And we have to be forgiving to people and say, we know you're new at this. Let me help you. And how can I bring my expertise or the lessons I've learned through my failures to help you maybe succeed better at this go around? That's our role as leaders. That's our role as we bring our teams up. But that mindset and that expectation is no longer just, well, you're leading that group. You need to be that way. Actually, and we'll get into this a little bit more, but every employee now really needs to start thinking about what is experimentation? What does it mean to learn something new? What does it mean to deploy new skills and try something for the first time? Because AI is going to force that on us.
Well, when you mentioned learning something new for the first time,
It's why you came to New York Life was transformation. New York Life is a 180-year-old company, an amazing background, and there's very few companies have been around as long as New York Life. But you came in to help build a transformation, reinvent and rethink how the organization's working. Tell us more about that learning journey for New York Life and how that's setting the stage for what you're doing around AI and performance management, growing careers, et cetera.
What I realized early on in my discussions though with the leadership and particularly the CHRO and CEO is they were deeply committed to this transformation. And in fact, the transformation has been going on for some years. It's just been accelerated over the last few years by a number of changes, both in the industry and the environment and client needs and the way that we operate, but also with the pace by which AI is infiltrating the workforce too. So that realization early on and the maturity of and commitment from the CEO and CHRO to drive this forward, that was really the reason I came here. So I've been very, very impressed by the progressiveness of the leadership team and the commitment of the C-suite to drive this transformation, not just in terms of we need this to change and what are you going to do about it, but the amount of time they spend on talent topics and people and what are we going to do to enable our workforce has really been second to none.
Now, that's amazing. And that's 3 years in, so you now have a good view of what that looks like, right, in terms of that transformation. And part of the transformation, one of the things you've done in the role, and I don't know how recent this is, but your role for talent management now has, or talent overall has talent acquisition, learning development, change management, OD, employee experience, and the listening team. So you really have this integrated talent portfolio underneath you. How, and I guess, how do you see this from the advantages of this approach? How is that helping you drive the transformation agenda, maybe versus other roles you've seen?
Yeah, I mean, I've had a combination of all those components. I've had all of them. I've had pieces of them. And I started my career actually in the TA space. I've been a HRBP. So I've really seen like all these pieces come together. And one of the barriers or challenges and opportunities, I guess, that we've observed or I've observed in the last few years is there gets to a point where you can't progress your strategic agenda without better connectivity of all these pieces. The whole pre-hire to exit life cycle of an employee and the way that we think about the experience that both our employees and managers have, or potential candidates, or whoever it may be that we're touching in each of those elements. There's just so much more connectivity. And the way as we think about like the data layer or the insights that we gather from each of those experiences, it's no longer like, well, I'm hiring you here and then I'm letting you go and then you're in your team. Then you go and do your performance route and then you do a learning thing. Actually, we have much clearer visibility into how as an organization we're collectively driving the performance, the skill set that we need of our employees, who we're even to think about our buy borrow strategy, where are we identifying who we even have that could potentially, you know, the adjacent skills that we could reskill them on, roles are going away with AI, what are we going to do with those people? Like that insight is really connected. And when we're running those as separate strategies, you really don't have the opportunity to think collectively and holistically about what do we do with these employees and how we best enable them. So that has been a huge opportunity area for us here. And in fact, one of the first things I did was really about an interconnected, data-informed talent strategy, which is the work that we're enabling now.
It makes a lot of sense. AI is driving this a little bit as well, but just the siloed nature, the HR that can happen, having your full leadership team have the capabilities from talent acquisition to change management to employee experience, and them working together also breaks down the silos. You can collaboratively challenge and tackle these problems, which I think AI is just making it so much more clear that there are no more boundaries, that it's more horizontal than vertical, as we talked about a little bit.
I'm so fascinated by this movement in HR as a function right now and how we're being impacted by AI. We're almost fortunate in our seat, at least, to have made those steps early on, because now with AI at the helm, we are looking horizontally and no longer vertically. Now, I'm not just saying, what is TA doing to hire? I'm actually saying, who are we hiring, but who are we reskilling and upskilling? And that impacts what our L&D strategy and investment is. And that talks about who we're actually rewarding for building the skills that are in demand in the workforce and how we're driving performance management. That's also linked to how we're thinking about who we promote and internal mobility and vacancy. So it's just such an interconnected workspace. So we already fortunately have started that journey a few years ago. And now with AI enabling us, we're now broadening that. We're saying, okay, we need the data and insights team to be more close with us. How do our HRBPs, how do we get them closer to the work? And I think that's just going to accelerate more in the next few years.
Yeah, it's going to put more pressure on people in your role to be able to be integrators, facilitators, orchestra conductors, unless in the actual band. Now let's talk about AI, because we're excited. And I'm sure people are like, JP, you promised me that Tina is going to tell me about AI and what's happening in your life. So you got an initiative, you call it Ignite AI, and you're really trying to turn 12,000 employees into 12,000 innovators who are AI fluent. That is a pretty ambitious goal. So I love it. So tell us more about what the team's trying to accomplish. What have some of the early successes? How you got there? We want to hear all of it.
I think as with any other company, we started our AI journey with a little bit of dabbling, a little bit of experimentation. We had a few use cases. But I think what we quickly realized at that point was, A, without strong facilitation and hands-on guidance, the teams who are enabling those use cases, they like to do that work. And then they were like, oh, that was really good. Okay, I'm going back to my day job. This concept of like, they will build it and they will come. If you build it, they will come. Didn't really play out in our early observations of rolling out AI tools. At the same time, we've been on a massive tech transformation as an organization for many years. And we realize that AI is potentially our opportunity to leapfrog some of those steps that we've been taking to just incrementally improve some of our technology. And actually, let's just go to the end state and miss steps A, B, and C and start at G or wherever it may be. So there was a commitment from the organization to lean more and more into AI as a enabler and productivity driver for our work. So every employee has ChatGPT and Copilot. As we were rolling out these tools, again, we were recognizing that the adoption rates just weren't there. A group of us quickly came together, and this group is co-led by myself and my partner in crime in our AI and D team. That's Don Vu, who's our head of AI at New York Life. And we got our teams together with a few other folks, including we have our people in governance and comms and so on. And we quickly strategized and said, this is actually not just about rolling out the tools, but it's also about enabling them. It's about making sure people are aware of what's happening. But core to our strategy is actually, let's build excitement of AI. Let's make this really fun and interesting and engaging versus what we were hearing on the ground, which is, I'm a little bit nervous. I'm not sure I should use it. Is it going to take my job away? How's it going to disrupt what I do? We're like, no, this is all great. This is going to make your life easier and better and enhance what we're doing. So the Ignite AI strategy has three pillars. It's mindset, skill set, and tool set. Within each, we've spent a significant amount of time really diving deep on how we bring those pieces to life. But we really deliberately started with mindset, because this ultimately is a change management strategy. This is not a technology rollout. We tried that. It wasn't successful. And so we've pivoted to this becoming a learning and change and comms experience. And if you'd have walked into our office anytime in the last 6 months, you'll see a massive Ignite AI banner at the top of this historical building, alongside a series of learning. We partnered with Connor Brennan, who leads the AI mindset strategy. He's been excellent. We have basically had a very, very successful early rollout of that work.
Let's talk about this idea that, number one, I agree with you. It's a change management initiative. I think we're not rolling out technology to roll technology out. It's solving business problems. But you're approaching it from a change management perspective. But it sounds like maybe it's not the exact same playbook, or is it? So what's different in your mind on how you're rolling this out than something else that we'd be doing in HR from a change perspective?
First of all, I think the partnership with technology is second to none. Like, this isn't actually about HR running with this. We don't really know the details of AI. We don't know the technological advancements. We're not close to when the next release is going to happen. We aren't the ones who lead the partnership with OpenAI or Microsoft right now. So we've had to co-lead this with them. And what they're really good at is saying, like, here's all the technical components and here's what's going to happen. And here's some things that we really want people to be able to do. What we're overlaying with that is, how are people using AI in a kind of a sequenced way? So if you think about this as in early adopters, what does that look like? What are some of the baseline things we want people to be doing? We want them just to be playing with it. And so we had a 90-day sprint that we laid out. The first 30 days was all about getting used to the tool. We were really talking about being, how do you solve problems differently? How do you get used to using ChatGPT day to day? Or what can Copilot do for you? So we had some like really fun prompts, and we did challenges. And so we had people engaging just at the most baseline. We then went into like, that was really our mindset. The skill set and tool set followed. Within those 90 days, what we actually experienced was we had around 15,000 hours of learning take place in this condensed period of time. So some of that was around feel free to come and join. And some of it was mandatory. So we had, here are the two things that we really want you to do. One was responsible AI usage, and one was much more about what are some of the basics around mindset and thinking differently about using AI. We've had 7,500 GPTs and agents built across the organization in that period of time, and various other high stats that we were really, really impressed with.
So let's pause for, I mean, let's think about this. About 12,000 employees in New York Life, and you have 7,000 plus or minus when exactly GPTs. If everyone's following along at home, if you don't know what a GPT is, it's really built-in AI, right? And in ChatGPT, you can essentially build prompts, custom prompts that solve certain problems. So you can put in information, it could be coaching, it could be performance management. I mean, there are, if you go to the GPT store, there are thousands of GPTs that people have created. But the game changer here is that this is sort of like the Apple App Store, where people were creating apps, right? We had this, everyone could create an app. That seems easy. Now you are creating apps and GPTs for New York Life, and you're empowering people to do that. They have the agency to create a GPT that makes their life better. And that's incredible when you think about the productivity gains. And I've made GPTs for my own self as well. So I see that power. I've not done 7,000. So talk about some of what that took to get there and what kind of GPTs are you seeing? Because that does seem like a lot. You're moving to a place where everyone's got their own GPT.
Yeah. And so again, our strategy has been, this is experimentation. Just try a GPT. It could be the most baseline GPT that doesn't really, isn't necessarily for productivity, but we want you to build a GPT. What does it take to, and see how easy it is. And by the way, use ChatGPT to help you with that, right? When you get stuck. So we have over 150, what we call AI influencers, who are much more skilled AI leaders in every department. And they'll be going and helping troubleshoot. So if you get stuck, you reach out to that person. So it really was about experimentation. It wasn't necessarily about the end product. However, what we have seen, and we actually recently had an AI in action event, which was the culmination of that 90-day sprint. And we looked at all the people submitted to say, does my GPT win? And by the way, it's agents as well in Copilot. So it's the two. And we saw unbelievable amount of innovation. The number of hours and finicky problems that were being solved by, in most cases, very junior talent who had no coding skills, had never used software like this before, who had self-taught themselves in less than 2 or 3 months, how to solve hours of problems for people was amazing. And we did the same for our interns too, by the way. We gave them the interns a challenge, and over 2 months, the level of innovation that we saw was unbelievable. So this is just has given us the ability to unlock, I think, what people didn't even know was hidden within them. Like, they didn't know they could do this stuff. And that's actually what the number one thing we're hearing. I didn't know I could do this, and I built this. So some of the GPTs have been things like digesting hundreds of pages of materials to help clients prepare for, as you go and meet with a client for the first time. One of the more impressive ones that I saw was around providing a practice session for our agents on, like, if I'm about to meet a client for the first time, you can be a tricky agent, a tricky client, you can be a first-time client, you can be someone who has, so you can kind of teach the GPT and then you talk to it, and it's now being used in the field to help coach our agents and help build their skills. But again, this is all self-built, in-house, and very relevant to the day-to-day challenge that New York Life faces. Most of this was about us giving people time, space, advocacy. Just two additional things that I'll add, though. One is that we actually pushed out an AI goal to every employee at New York Life. And this was really a commitment from the organization to say, we expect you to do this. We're going to be asking you at the end of the year, what have you done using AI, and how have you been self-teaching yourself, and what have you been delivering for you and your teams? And then the second one is, we opened up a recognition part of our platform and our applause award points. So every employee is able to be given a thank you, you did a great job, and AI is now one of the categories, and they get points and money to recognize their commitment. And we've had over 500 of those used in the couple of months that's been live. So we're seeing active use of those things.
Yeah, I love that. I think those are maybe some traditional change management techniques of, like, let's have some recognition, excitement, but I haven't heard many companies applying this to AI in this way. And I think one takeaway, Bettina, please tell me if you think I've missed it a little bit, is the focus. The focus, the partnership with IT, we need your help. And then this focus across the organization with that leadership support is why you're getting so much traction. Because culturally, in some companies, it may be risky to build a GPT. It may not be, I can't put data in there that's New York Life data. If you have those cultural barriers, you're not going to get people creating GPTs and innovating like this, right?
That's exactly right. The messages come right from the top. We've had Craig DeSanto send out a number of messages, speak at our town halls. Like, he's been very clear that this is an expectation. And because we're doing it within the walls of the New York Life, this is the New York Life instance of ChatGPT or the Copilot realms, it's safe and we expect you to do it. And so again, we have strong measurement strategy. So we're looking at usage, we're looking at adoption and saying, okay, why? And then we're using that not to punitively reach out to people, but we're then using our Ignite AI strategy to say, hey, we have some consulting hours with Connor. Would you like to be one of the people that works with him? And you can unlock some of the potential for your team. So we're doing that at the most senior level. So we're hoping to activate every, back to our goal of these 12,000 innovators, everybody should be doing something. So I do think you have to look at both the change management, but you have to look at the infrastructure and the enabling mechanisms. You have to look at the communications, the advocacy, and then you do have to look at the actual training. Like, you've got to make it, okay, I don't know what I'm doing here. So how do I make it so easy for me to use these? So we have like tip sheets, we have content, we have actual live training, and we've been scaling that for all the different levels of usage as well.
It sounds like a full court press, which is amazing on there. I'm curious. I just had the chief people officer for Zapier on, and they have an AI fluency framework, which is interesting. And they're now assessing candidates coming in as well as their internal team members. And they're asking questions around AI, and it's a mindset shift. So they're not saying that you have to be transformative. They're like, you just need to be capable. Are you embracing AI in some way? Even if it's just for small productivity. Oh, I use this to write an email or do a job description. And then some people are actually doing codes or GPTs or agents. Have you guys thought about that or starting to adopt that into your hiring and performance management process?
Yeah, so we've actually been talking a lot about what does it take to be a future leader at New York Life in general, but even just an everyday employee. Whereas we would in the past be hiring for skill set or have you done certain experiences or can you demonstrate that you've achieved a certain level in your career? We're starting to talk about the pivot towards, well, actually the skills of success for the future, and not even the future, I think now and the near future, is going to be things like adaptability, being able to think about resilience. Are people able to change and learn, that learning agility and mindset? So we're actually engaging in a whole series of conversations on RTA side around like, what does that hiring and intake? So I was reading about Zapier, actually like really interesting stuff they're doing there. But I do think that every employee does need to have AI fluency moving forwards. What we're probably going to do is try and tier it out and say, what do we know of the roles in, at least in the short term, that are going to be most impacted? And how do we overlay some kind of, whether it's an AI assessment or something similar in the hiring piece. But actually, hiring is just one component of it. I think the bigger issue is the employees who are here today, they're going to have to shift how they operate and what they were known for doing really well and what they've been rewarded for doing really well or the work they do could potentially shift. And we need to think about what are we doing with that population? So we're spending a lot of time as well thinking about culturally and leadership-wise, how we enable that group.
That is such an important point. A lot of us will say, well, AI will change our jobs. We all realize that's going to happen. I think how we create value is going to dramatically change in the future, especially for HR leaders, because AI is going to enable that. And that's always been the case. We move from personnel to HR to people, et cetera, right? So it's always shifted. Just AI is going faster. The difference here, though, that's super exciting to me is that actually as HR leaders internally with AI, you can actually be part of the transformation and the shift. It's not going to happen to you. You can actually happen with you and redesign your job and do something different if you have the agency and the learning agility to do that, which I think is just super exciting.
I completely agree. Now is the moment. And when you said earlier, IT is asking for our help. Actually, we're asking for IT's help as well. Like, we're actually the ones that are pulling these pieces together to say, hey, hold on a minute. We actually all need to be collectively working together on this strategy. And in the past, where it may have been, oh, we'll call in HR at the end when we're ready to get rid of these people. We're actually at the beginning of the conversation now, where we're saying, hey, we're rethinking how we're reimagining domains. We're doing big, complex work, and this will be a multi-year journey. But as we think about that, or as we innovate and use AI to help drive efficiencies in work, how are we enabling the people? And I truly believe deeply, and so does our leadership team. We have a commitment to enable every one of our employees to get better. we've got to give them an alternative, whether that means that we're helping them rescale or upscale, whether we're bringing them the AI skills that will make them competitive in the market. Like we have to make sure that we're enabling that group. So a lot of our time is actually spent right now on what did the next few years look like and where do we spend our budget and advocacy and time and energy on not just growing the workforce we need, but then also making sure that our employees are ready to do bigger and better things, whether it's here or elsewhere.
Yeah, I think that's really awesome. I think it'd be love to follow the journey and see where you go with New York Life, because I think you are going where a lot of companies are wanting to be, and maybe you are even a few years ahead of where some companies will be, but a lot of people are going to get to where you're at there. Now, I want to give you an opportunity just to do a little bragging, a humble brag for your team, because your team has made some pretty cool GPTs. I know you probably can't pick your favorite child, and so there may be some GPTs you're going to miss, but are there one or two, three you want to call out that have just really had some big impact and you want to give some recognition and share this with the HR community?
Absolutely. One thing I will say is if you're, as a HR leader yourself, if you are not driving the change within your own team, you're only going to be successful driving the change for the company. So like first piece of advice for everybody is you've got to just take a big, long look at what are we doing every single process, every single time we think about the next phase of the work that we're delivering to the organization. It should be with an AI first mindset. So challenge yourself to like really think about that. Our team, if you think about how many hours, thousands and thousands of hours of time we spend with managers doing the processes we've run, like the performance management process, we have the change management, all the training, everything has a component that is employee or manager facing. So challenge yourself to think about how can I make this better? Can we automate it? How do we make it easier for the consumer? One of my favorites, it is hard to pick a favorite child because there's some really cool ones that we haven't quite released yet, but they're coming. But the one that I know has actually had a significant impact was our mid-year performance management GPT. Greta Knaus on my team, giving her a shout out, really took the initiative to say, I know everybody hates writing their performance reviews. So I'm going to train this model. I'm going to build this GPT with, again, she has no experience in this field. I'm going to train it on our impact performance management program. It's going to have all the ins and outs of how we talk about things. And it's going to help managers put insights and feedback they've received and other things into one and spit out a nice, concise summary of that performance review. It's now become the most used GPT at New York Life. The last count had over 10,000 queries, so very strongly used at mid-year. But the amount of emails and thank yous and, oh my God, you don't understand how many hours you've saved me responses we've received, it was true recognition that we're on the right path. And it wasn't hard. This is actually the crux of it. This was not hard to do. It was a little bit of playing around, a little bit of tweaking. We've improved it over time. Bias testing, internal governance, all those things happened. It was just a game changer. That's been a really cool innovation for our team.
Yeah, I love that. And I think what's so cool is that you're getting real user feedback. And I think sometimes in HR, we do programs, we roll it out. We just don't know if it sticks. We don't know if people are using it. But to have 10,000 queries, we all know that's a painful process. So that is a no-brainer. But then to continue just to have that impact and then do the bias testing and have the IT team make sure that we can make this a robust tool that can live on for a while and maybe again to adapt over years. That's amazing. That might be a tool that someone would have bought off the shelf from a vendor potentially years ago.
Now we're questioning everything. We're like, well, do we need to buy that? Or do you think we could figure that out ourselves? Like, let's create a GPT. We're about to roll out a leadership program for all of our leaders. One of the tools we're using is the DISC assessment, which I think is a very nice and easy and simplistic one for people to interpret. But we were like, well, if you haven't done this before, it can be overwhelming and daunting. And so we've built a GPT, which helps folks plug in their DISC style. It can talk about you as a team. It'll help coach you about how we get. So, all built in-house. So that's stuff that we're still testing right now, but we are looking at everything that we would have maybe purchased or used a human to do a one-on-one debrief. And now we're trying to say, well, is there a way that we can automate that, still have the same output and quality? That's a really important piece. Like, are they still getting the same quality? In many cases, it's better than probably what a human would say. So but then also having an exit, like, I get all that. I still want a human. I still want to have a one-on-one. So I think just being able to like think more creatively about the way that we serve up our processes.
Yeah. What I'm seeing, and it's still early days. No one has a crystal ball, right? But AI can be a thought partner. It can help you do the performance management and get ready for mid-year, but a leader still has to lead. They still have to have the conversation. AI is not going to convince a CEO to make a strategic change. I'm not going to convince a business leader or help the business leader talk through their options. I mean, they might go to AI, but still things happen through people. So I don't think we're all going to like just stop talking to each other and use GPTs all the time, but they're incredibly helpful for these use cases that are giving resources we didn't have before. And so I think it's amazing what you guys are doing.
What it gets rid of is a bit of uncertainty, and it helps you with preparation. That's what actually I found is like for either coaching or practice or preparing, even the way that our performance management GPT was built, it gives you the summary, but you still have to go in and make, obviously add your human touch to it. But it takes feedback. You're like, I'm not quite sure how to phrase this in a way that is balanced. And it takes the model that we've been using on feedback, and it helps someone say it in a way that is more developmental. So it's not just saying, well, you didn't do this well, or it's too nice that it doesn't actually give the message you want. It says, here's what I saw, and here's how I think you maybe need to think about it. So it just helps the leader take a couple of steps forwards, and then they have to be the one that really is the owner of that message and that delivery and that conversation. So it's just adding a lens that we just haven't had before.
And you're scaling because you wouldn't have enough HR business partners, talent leaders to have these conversations. So if it's helping leaders to prepare and have a better conversation with their team, that's amazing. That's a great output. And the teams are going to feel it as well. So Tina, while you've been transforming the organization around AI and AI mindset, you've also been working to transform development in New York life. And you've got a program called Empowering Your Growth. Tell us more about what you're doing there and some of the innovations you're seeing.
Yeah, so just this kind of links to the conversation I just started around leadership development work that we're doing. As you think about the future leader, one of the things that we've been talking about at the C-suite level is a leader is no longer somebody who manages a team or makes sure the works get done. They actually need to be digital leaders. So it kind of all speaks to what we've been talking about this whole podcast, really. They need to have technical fluency and be able to lead a workforce that is probably a blend of humans and ultimately going to be robots or technology as well. So that's really the premise for some of the work we're doing around empowering your growth. It's about building future-ready skills for all of our leaders and empowering them to lead into the next chapter of New York's life future. We're calling one of those pieces of the program is Lead Forward, and that's really the all managers over the next 12 months going to be experiencing in-depth and simulation-like and interactive and engaging training and development that is really about those future-ready skills. So we're focusing and really making a huge investment in all of our leaders, which is really exciting for us because we've been talking about this for some time. We've been encouraging them. We've been doing some micro-training, and this is really now us blowing that up. Alongside that, we've invested in things like a recent initiative launched called the Career Hub, which is all about upskilling and reskilling our employees, having a better understanding of the work they're doing today, where they aspire to go. And then we are helping them with their career pathing and growth and so on. So we're doing a ton of work on not just the world is shifting and shaping around us and good luck and let's hope you get there, but we are also enabling that with development and training and career coaching and guidance. And AI is at the heart of a lot of that because we're using AI tools. We have our Ignite AI strategy, and then we're making sure that we have a wrapper around all of that with our Impact Performance Management program. And that's really about how we're making sure people are not just performing well in the jobs they're doing today. They're aware of how they can grow and where they could grow to, and then joining all those pieces together in that dialogue.
Yeah, what I love is you guys are really preparing New York life for the next 180 years, thinking really future forward across leadership, mindset, the skill set, the tools. I mean, I think it's really comprehensive. I've got two more questions for you, Tina. Going back to AI, but with AI changing and just moving so fast, how do you personally stay current in knowledge and use of AI? Like, what are you doing? Because there's probably a lot of pressure, as you said. The leader's got to keep kind of staying up with all that's going on. Love to hear what you're doing there.
I'm doing a ton of self-training. I actually read everything and anything, and I listen to your blog, I listen to many blogs. I think steeping yourself in external knowledge and insights is just second to none. It sparked so many ideas for me, and then I often follow up and connect with folks who are doing cool things. I have a really good network of folks in my seat, but also folks in the AI space and in technology and so on. So learning from those folks and making sure we're staying connected. I'm actually doing skilling myself. So I'm going through all the programming. I'm doing the OpenAI courses. I'm doing the Microsoft Copilot courses. And it's really interesting. One thing I'm figuring out is, yes, it's really important to know how to leverage AI and to have the skills. But actually what's more important is understanding the power and the impact of AI and being able to think about, okay, if that's how it can augment, automate, enable the workforce, how can I make sure that those things are true when I'm building the next chapter of whether it's learning or talent management or supporting the organization through change? I'm really trying to get better and more fluent at that component. But I will honestly say I am no way an expert in AI. I will probably never get a job doing AI directly work. But I think that everyone has to have some level of expertise and stay committed to self-learning.
I think it's great. We're all in this journey together. There's no real AI experts because everyone's doing it at the same time. It's just so interesting, right? There's never been a technology like this. And so, yeah, some people are a little further along the curve, but I think that's great. You're experimenting, you're learning, and you're pushing yourself and the team to say, hey, how can we reinvent what we're doing in our space along with New York Life?
Absolutely. And I'm pushing my team a lot to say, hey, every time anything new comes up, we're like, well, hold on a minute, let's think about an AI first mindset. What could we do here instead? So that's how I'm bringing it to life in my work.
I love it. Last question for you, Tina. What is one word or phrase that you believe will define the future of HR over the next 5 to 10 years?
This might be an unpopular one. I'm going to say unpredictable. I used to know exactly what I was going to be doing. So I thought, great, I've really honed myself in on this path. I'm good at transformation. But I couldn't have told you even 12 months ago that my role would be maybe 50% of my time is now spent on what are we doing to rethink the workforce from an AI perspective. The one thing I will say, though, is everyone is going to be enabling their businesses in some way, shape, or form in a HR seat with the AI transformation. So just be ready for that. And that's why my parting words of advice is stay close, stay relevant, upskill yourself, lean in, be open, learn, fail, experiment, and innovate, and you're going to be good.
Well, Tina, congratulations on all the great work you've done to date at New York Life. We would love to have you come back in 12 months or so. Let's hear the transformation, continue to see what's happening. This is a great service and probably really inspirational for a lot of listeners.
Thank you so much. And thank you for always pushing our HR communities to do more and do better.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Future of HR podcast. A big thank you to Tina for reminding us the real power of AI isn't in the tools, it's in how we lead people through change. As always, you can go to futureofhr.com to view all of our past episodes and learn more about our mission to inspire the next generation of HR leaders. And if you enjoyed this episode of Future of HR, I think you'll enjoy my Future of HR newsletter, which is the only newsletter that is focused on helping you to elevate your career and your business impact. So go to futureofhr.com to subscribe and be sure to download my HR Leaders Blueprint, which is 18 pages of real-world advice from 100-plus HR thought leaders with simple, actionable, and proven strategies to advance your career. And you won't want to miss next week's guest, Brian Glaser. He's the VP and Chief Learning Officer at Google, and he has spent his career shaping culture, strategy, and leadership, and believes they are the real drivers of performance. And with a career ranging from JetBlue to owning his own firm, Gotham Culture, to building Google's own school for leaders, he'll share why he believes culture and leadership are the true engines of lasting transformation. You won't want to miss this great conversation. Thanks again for being part of our Future of HR community.